Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, 15 to 20. After handwriting it out, I had to come back, circle back around to the shepherds. It was just so good to just study about the shepherds in a little bit more detail. And the title of the sermon is Go and Tell. Go and Tell. And let me just read the text. If you have your Bible open, I'm going to read just verses 15 to 20. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. That's our text for this morning. Last week, we ended the service by singing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Remember that? That's how we ended there, snapping our fingers and clapping, Go Tell It on the Mountain. It's a song that's devoted to the shepherds and their obedience to what the angel told him. I've sang that song 1,000 times. Go tell it on the mountain. And in fact, here's the words, just so the go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And that's what our exhortation was. There's a mountain near you somewhere, Steve said last week. You're somewhere near a mountain. Go and tell. While shepherds kept their watching or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Many hymns and many Christmas songs just work through the narrative in the way we just read it. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. And lo, when they had seen him, they all bowed down and prayed. They traveled round together to where the babe was laid. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent our salvation, that blessed Christmas morn. That kind of sums it all up. So the message of that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, is God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. God sent us. God's the one who sent us Jacob's ladder. God sent us salvation. Here's our outline for this morning. 4 points in 5 verses. That's got to be a record. First of all, the shepherds respond. The shepherds respond, verses 15 and 16. Second, seeing and telling, in verses 17 and 18. Mary's response, in verse 19. And then, glory to God, in verse 20. The shepherds responded to the word from the angel and proclaimed what they had seen and heard. So they responded. This text this morning is all about response, about what they did with what they saw and what they heard. Response. So if we look at our first point, the shepherds respond. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When the angels went away, if you notice in the Bible, whenever an angel appears, when the angel went away, that's always the critical time, right after that happens. They've seen it there. They fear not. We heard that earlier this morning. Fear not. But that's always the critical time. What the shepherds should do had been spoken to them by the angel. The angel said, "This is what you're going to do. This is what you should do. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Would they go? Familiarity with the story, we know, for us, we go, of course they're going to go. But we know the story, and we're so familiar with it. Of course they're going to go. A person famously said, the insight is not the action. The insight is not, just because you get an insight, that doesn't mean, the insight is not the action. You read something in your devotions in the morning, or when you read your devotions, that's really profound. You're reading it, go, wow. That is good. It's a call for you to do or to say something in your devotion. Do or say, the critical part isn't just reading it. It's what are you going to do with what you just read and heard? The insight is not the action. In this text, there's no hesitation. The shepherd said, "Let us go." My thought is, what about the care of the sheep? You would think, what? You know, we don't have any record of whether, let us go. And we don't know. They must have found a solution because they up and went. Or maybe God divinely protected them. I don't know. It doesn't tell us, and it's not important, but it's something that comes into my mind. The angel simply said, you will find a baby, so they must go and search. They were eager to do it. You're going to find a baby. You have to go and search. The original text then inserts a little word with two letters that translate indeed. And it can be rendered now or at once or without delay. The ESV says with haste. They went quickly. Without delay, they went. There's also a little phrase, let us go over to Bethlehem. And you read that, and it implies that the shepherds probably had to cover some distance from where they were to where they needed to be in Bethlehem. It probably wasn't just right next door, like just there. Probably a little bit further. But their response, you think about this, their response is means that they fully realized that it was God himself who was speaking to them through an angel. It wasn't just an angelic thing. God himself was speaking to them, and they went with haste. They said, we've got to go. This is God's word for us. So in verses 16, we see the shepherds hearing from the angel and then leaving quickly to Bethlehem. That leads us to, secondly, seeing and telling in verses 17 and 18. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. The shepherds just had to relate what they had seen and what they had heard from the angel. They just had to, they couldn't not talk about what they had experienced. And we can assume that they did it probably in chronological order of what they'd seen, or maybe the shepherds interrupted each other of what they saw in their excitement. We don't know. Maybe just tumbled out. And first an angel appeared to them and talked to them. That's what they would have said. You're not going to believe this, but an angel came and talked to us and said in verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people. And then they said, and then what the angel said, it said some specific things about the child. They would recount that. A baby's going to be born. A baby's going to be born in the city of David. That would be Bethlehem. And a Savior, Christ the Lord, the long-awaited Messiah was here. So they're recounting what they were told and the very specific details and a specific sign down to what the baby would be wearing and exactly what the baby would be that you're going to find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and you're going to find this baby lying in a manger. I mean, that is fear not, and bing, 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 just like that. The shepherds are getting this very specific direction. And then they said the next part of the story, and you're not going to believe this. We heard this, and then this whole host of angels came and began to say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. We assumed that they sang it like it was in the Messiah. Glory to God, glory. But it says that said, the angel said to them, and as I was writing out Luke, I said, that's interesting. I just always just went to, the angel spoke, and then they all came, the choir came in, and they all sang. But it says, no, they spoke. Can you imagine what it was like to have a myriad of angels all saying the same thing at the same time? Glory, like this. I think of like a mumbling, but a discernible mumbling that would have been just amazing. So the shepherds have come into town, and they're sharing this detail by detail by detail of what they saw, and I thought it was just so cool. These men didn't hide anything from what they were told and what they'd seen. They told a story first to Mary and Joseph, and then in verse 18, they said they told it to many others besides. And it says, and all who heard it. So that's another thing I was just looking at. Oh, it wasn't just a little encounter with Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the manger. They're retelling this story to other people. So sure were the shepherds of the truth of what they'd heard and seen on the hillside that they were willing to risk disbelief and really ridicule even for it. You what? You saw an angel? We've all encountered people who said, and depending on your faith background and your, well, all that kind of stuff, doesn't matter, but you hear here and you say, yeah, an angel spoke to me, and you go, okay, tell me more. And quite possibly an angel did. But our natural tendency is to say, is to be skeptical of that. And maybe even when we get away, say, that was the stupidest thing I, you know. They probably, when they were recounting this, they could have had people that said, you're crazy. Or ignored them and turned around and said, those guys are crazy. But they were willing to put up with that because what they had seen and heard, they just had to talk about. Reminds me of the story of the four lepers. This is a little bit of a stretch, but listen. Four lepers in 2 Kings 7. Remember, those four lepers were standing outside of the city or outside of the city, and they were starving. And they said, we can go into the city. We're going to die. They're going to kill us, or we're going to get something to eat. But if we just stay here, we're going to starve. So let's go into the city. And they go into the city, and nobody's there. Everybody's gone. They've just left. And then they started eating and drinking and carrying off all the silver and gold. And they said, whoa, wait a second. They stopped and said in verse 9, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news. Let us go and tell the king's household. So they said, we can't keep this news to ourselves. There's no enemy here. All of this stuff, we can just walk right in. And they had to go tell somebody. It's similar to the shepherds. We can't keep this to ourselves. We have to go tell somebody. The shepherds had good news to tell, and they couldn't keep it to himself. And they I can picture them recounting the story to anybody they saw on the way back to the sheep. Can you believe what I saw? Can you believe? Go to the inn down here. You can't believe what you're going to see. The Messiah has been born, because they were looking for the Messiah. It reminds me of that old gospel hymn, We've a Story to Tell to the Nations. We've a story to tell. How many even know that song? Those of you who have been in church your whole life, you know that. That's good. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light, for the darkness shall turn to the dawning and the dawning to noonday bright as Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. That's just proclaiming the gospel. They couldn't stop proclaiming it, and we shouldn't either. The shepherds weren't silent, and we can't be also. We have to tell the story. Verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Do I have that up there? Yeah. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Not surprising. Just think about it. All the wonderful things that had happened. There had been this imperial decree, fear not. There's message from an angel, divine direction about an infant lying in a manger, a child born in a stable, not a full-grown man. Everybody was expecting a full-grown man, but a baby lying in a manger. They expected a king that was ready to rule and reign. That's what they were looking for Messiah. It's so amazing that many Christmas songs remind us and rehearse this part of it. We sing, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. We got a baby here, not a full-grown Messiah. One of the men, as we were talking through this on Tuesday night, one of the men pointed out in our study of this text as we were working through it, here's another example of waiting. Think with me on this. The shepherds hear this word, they go, they see the infant, but if they're still alive, it's going to be 30 years before he begins his ministry. That waiting for 30 years. They knew it was Messiah. The angel had told them, said, fear not. Angel told them. But 30 years before they were going to see the ministry of Jesus start. My guess is, because of the lifespan back then, probably those shepherds, some of them, maybe all of them, were not even around when that happened. And you know what that reminds me of? That we are not promised that when God shares something with us or lays something on our heart, that we're going to see it resolved instantly. Are we coming into our second year of the third year of the pandemic? Is that right? They're starting the third year in about another month. The third year. And we all want it to be over. But God's got a purpose in delay where things don't happen quickly. I want them to be resolved now. You have a child that's not walking with the Lord. I want that to be resolved quickly. I want our answers to prayer to come quickly. And yet God has a purpose in the delay, just like he did with the shepherds. There's that long delay between the announcement and the visually seeing Messiah and then when that prayer is answered. And God always has something in the delay or in the waiting, like Sean was talking about at the hospital bed, that delay of sitting there day after day, just praying to the Lord. God's got a purpose in that. What's the purpose? I don't know. I want to get better quickly. I want my oxygen to come up quickly so that I can go home. God's got a purpose in the delay, and that's so important. 30 years. I wonder what God was teaching the shepherds in between time. How are we to live in anticipation of his return, especially with the certainty and hope that it's going to happen? He's going to come back. Many of us say right now, please, Lord, come quickly. It's got to be soon. And I think over the centuries, many people have said that at different times in history. They've said, this is it. He's coming back. I said before, when we were growing up, probably high school, there was a group of Jesus people would just sell everything and go sit on a roof and expect Jesus to come back because they were so sure he was coming back in the 70s, late 70s. He was absolutely coming back. And we're still here, and I graduated from college and got married and on and on, you know. So, but how are we to live in anticipation of his return? There's that gap between when he says he's coming back or he came and when he's coming again. Amazement and wonder on the part of the shepherds is fine. Even expected with the account of what they'd heard. But in verse 19, it tells us something even more interesting. This is almost an aside, so their amazement was interesting, but look at verse 19, number 3, Mary's response. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. We think that most likely Mary was a young teen, maybe 14, 15, 16, young teen. She'd just given birth to the Messiah, and it says she was carefully treasuring, storing up all these things in her heart. She would have, what kinds of things was she treasuring? Well, Joseph had said, this is what the angel told me. She would have treasured that. It's interesting, Joseph. That's similar to what the angel told me, you know, what Gabriel had told her, what she had observed when she traveled to see Elizabeth and the baby leaped inside of Elizabeth's womb, and that was recounted to her. She's treasuring that, storing that, that bit of information. What the experience had been arriving in Bethlehem and how that had happened. What the shepherds had reported, kept storing these things up, treasuring them with respect to the voices of angels. She was literally putting all these things together in her mind. We would say, modern vernacular, she was mulling them over in her mind, that bit of fact, this fact, mulling them over in her mind. And aside from this narrative, we have very little about, knowing very much about Mary, unless you watch The Chosen, then you know a lot more about her, but that's extra biblical. But there are some biblical examples. At the end of Luke chapter 2, verse 48, I don't have this on a slide. This is when the boy Jesus is in the temple, and they leave him. It says, and when his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? Verse 50, and they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. See that again, in the same chapter, treasured up all these things in her heart. So we don't have a lot about Mary, but we do have a couple of things. Look, remember the wedding at Cana? On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. So he would have been about 30 years old. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. So there was a level of, I know who this is. Her faith had grown a lot from the time that Jesus was a baby in the manger. And then again at 12 years old when they go, we don't understand. Why did you ditch us and stay behind? But she's starting to piece things together. She said, do whatever he says. You know, that. Or very early in Acts, here's another. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. No Joseph here. Joseph's probably dead by then. Mary, the mother of Jesus. So she's with the disciples. And that's it for Mary, treasuring up all these things. His mother knew who he was and what he is capable of doing as a son of God. We see that in the wedding at Cana. And in Acts 1:14, these two passages show us that she became a worshiper. She became a worshiper of the one to whom she had given physical birth. That's an amazing transformation in her faith. So this account that we're looking at today of the Nativity is just a first glimpse of her faith that's going to grow over the years from birth mother to worshiping the King of Kings. This leads to the final mention of the shepherds, and the narration ends on a note of praise. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So these men returned to their flocks, obviously. They could have been offended, I suppose, by the low estate that Messiah was born. The angel said, this is where you're going to find the baby, and they could have come back and gone, boy, that is not what we expected. Much more low and humble than what we expected we were going to see. A baby, a smelly stable, such humble beginnings. An angel was needed to help them to piece it all together. That's what was necessary. But they didn't shrink back from acknowledging the child in the manger as indeed a Savior, Christ the Lord, had been born. In fact, their faith probably grew when they went and saw the baby. And so everything came about just as the angel had reported it. And the result was praise and glory to God. My prayer through this month of Advent, as we've been lighting the candle and then going through different parts of Advent, is that it would end up with praise and glory to God. Not just the same Christmas again, but that you would be moved to praise and glory to God, and I pray that each Sunday as we gather. So finally, the beauty of the gospel isn't just see for yourself. The beauty of the gospel is for you, but it's just not see for yourself. The beauty of the gospel, each of us has to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. That's critically important, but it's also go and tell. It's also go and tell, as the shepherds did and as we're commanded to do. I want to do a better job this year of being transparent with my faith to people that I see and speak about the hope that's inside of me. And I hope you do too. I hope you want to speak about the hope that's inside of you. You don't need to club somebody with the gospel. You just need to let them know that you're not living in fear. You know, Sean talked about that aspect of fear. And we know how the story ends. We really do. We don't need to live in fear. And we need to help other people not live in fear. We need to help them, Christian, non-Christian. And fear does come up, but we need to go and tell as the shepherds did and as we're commanded to do, which should bring us to the same place that the shepherds came at, and that's praising and glorifying God for what we see. That should be where we land regardless of what happens in the situations that we're in. So I just felt like the Sunday after Christmas, the first encounter we have in the Bible seems to be when the shepherds came. And so to me, that was fitting why we would go there today and just kind of unpack the shepherds a little bit more and their response. So let's pray together.